The final stretch around it, the roar of her engine reddening the sky like a peal of thunder. Harrow thought it strange for a horse to drive a vehicle, but she had proven her mettle even still. And now in the distance, through the noxious miasma of exhaust and scorched rubber, the checkered flag awaited. Through a haze of atmosphere and mind, it pulsated like a glorious beacon of triumph, and it would be hers. She would be just like her hero, Lightning McQueen. Heft the championship trophy of the Podcastville Derby 500, and get many smooches from her victory harem. 200 laps and 500 miles of this bullshit. In a sense, she's glad she was driving because her hooves would have been split in twain by the end of it. The sheer monotony of the race was now a distant memory folding into yet more distant memories. A dulling blur of gray and droning of engines, but Arrow would prove once and for all that she was the best. Ennui had given way for exuberance. She was the best, she was. Not the other one. No, not her. Never her. It was a straight shot to the goal at this point, within reach. People on all sides chanting, "Arrow, Arrow, Arrow," cheers louder than the engines. She wondered, what will I do when I win the Derby? The possibilities were endless. Go to Disneyland, guest star on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, be the cover horse for FIFA 2018. All good options, but first she'd probably get laid. Crazy laid. A sneer of pure smugness crossed her lips as she was about to cross the line. But she was suddenly enveloped in a flash of light. Three spiked cerulean turtle shells struck into the pavement all around her. Pure weaponized bullshit, rendering all of her skill and perseverance meaningless. Her go-kart was flung away from her, direction unknown. Dazed, she could barely stand up, barely see. But she could hear. Oh, could she hear? Hear the whinnying of Epona as she rubber-banded past her at impossible speed. A taunting, laughing whinny that would haunt Arrow's dreams for the rest of her days. Fucking items, muttered Arrow.
That was a good twist at the end. I really appreciate that.
Arrow often winds up the hero of these stories. You gotta have some drama. You gotta have some tension. And this is a rivalry podcast. We're talking about Outrun and Rad Racer today for the February 2017 podcast. I am your host, Matt, of course. My co-host is Chris. We'll get right into it. Chris, how was your February?
My February has been pretty busy. First of all, I had Katsucon, which was a really great time. Last year, I think it was because I was ridiculously sick. I said, oh, after this con, I'm never going back. 2017 would be my last year at Katsucon. And then this year was really good. I went to some panels for a change because I normally don't do that. I'm too busy being exhausted from cosplaying. And I don't know, this year I was just full of energy and the weather was unusually warm because global warming. So I think half the con wasn't actually in the building, so it felt a little more... It just felt roomier, so I guess that also added to it. Not that I'm really claustrophobic, it's just like, man, there's too many people here sometimes, and since half the con went outside, it just felt like a more pleasant experience. So Costacon was great. I had a good time. Going back in 2018.
That's good. I guess if everyone's spread out more, too, there's less contact with germs.
Yeah, I guess. Also, I went outside. It was great. As for games, because of Katsucon, I didn't really have much time to play anything. I did try to play Dark Souls when I came back home, but just my luck, my PS3 controller is malfunctioning and I don't have a micro screwdriver to fix it. So in the meantime, I'll need to buy a micro screwdriver set because I am very picky and I must get the right brand and the right amount of sets for my screwdrivers. I haven't bought it yet. But once I get that fixed, I do want to get back into Dark Souls really badly right now, and maybe Nier, because Automata is coming out, and I guess you and one of my friends have somehow gotten me involved in this, and I really want to play it. So I think like those two games this year I want to get to. I'll beat Dark Souls 1, and then I'll beat Nier, and maybe I'll get to Automata on my PS4.
I don't know really anything about how Automata is going to go, so I don't know how much Nier is going to be pertinent to it. But I mean, Nier is the main character of Nier, so there's going to be something there. And Dark Souls, I'd be looking forward to hearing that as well. Hopefully you can get the Camaro working again.
Yeah, I've been waiting to hear myself talk about Dark Souls for a long time as well, so I can move on to the other Dark Souls games. And then, I guess the only other game that I'm putting time into is the new gacha game from Nintendo, Fire Emblem Heroes. It's not exactly great, but I guess it's a fun time waster, so I have that going for it. It needs some updates, though, like there's some really rampant cheating going on because people have figured out how to hack the game already and Nintendo hasn't really done anything yet. And, I mean, there's usually daily login bonuses for these gacha games so you can eventually summon new characters, but Nintendo is barely doing that right now. They have, like, we've been out for a month so you can get some summoning orbs, but are they still going to continue that? Because it's really difficult to actually get these orbs to summon new characters. And I really don't want to give them money. I mean, it's been tempting, but I don't want to give them money.
Like, these gacha games, their real economy is disappointment, so
yeah.
If you start giving them money, you know, you'll only be disappointed with them and yourself. So as much as you can to avoid this, it's a bit of a different story than when you were buying those hourglasses to support a game that you liked and that needed supporting. Yeah, that's interesting, though. They should keep up giving out the in-game currency. I know that Record Keeper usually had, I forget if it was just a mithril per day, but then like five at the start of the month or something like that. They did incentivize it a bit. But of course, if you didn't keep up with it, you quickly... the power creep was real in that game, so it'd be interesting to see where that goes with Fire Emblem Heroes. How does the game actually play then? Does it play like Fire Emblem?
In the vaguest sense of the word, I mean, the maps are really small, and the weapon triangle is there, but it's really, really, like, watered down feeling. So, it's just weird. But, again, it's a good time waster, I guess. I mean, it keeps me distracted sometimes.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad then. I mean, it sounds about what you would have expected probably from a mobile Fire Emblem. They're not going to give you the most in-depth experience, of course, because they want to move their their console games for that. But it sounds like they did a pretty good job. I know I've seen a lot of people playing it that I wouldn't have expected to have picked it up. So, I mean, it's probably going to drive sales for other Fire Emblems as well.
I just hope they do something to make it more, I guess, enticing. Because my issue is, it's like watered-down Fire Emblem on a phone. So, I mean, in theory, you could just play the game on your 3DS and get a better experience out of it. The other gacha game I play is Tales of Link, which has a different gameplay setting than any other Tales game I've played. So it's got that going for it. It's like, okay, do you want a mini Tales experience on your phone? Then you can have this really weird connect the colors on a grid system gameplay and then get really pissed off at the RNG as usual. But Fire Emblem Heroes is like, okay, we're going to try to incorporate actual Fire Emblem gameplay, but just water it down for the phone. And then it's just saying, like, why don't you just play it on the 3DS? That's what we have handhelds for.
I guess the whole thing is that they want it to be an ensemble, or ensemble, whatever the hell you want to say, cast of characters that, you know, and I see a lot of people getting frustrated over who they were drawing or pulling from the gacha. And that's what they're going for there. They're going to prey on people that want to put together their dream cast of characters, I guess. Is the Tales game, is that a Tales game?
Yeah, it's official by Tales.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's the whole thing. This whole ensemble game, or, you know, these games that sort of prey on nostalgia and fandom now, they're innocent enough, of course, they're out there to make money by, again, it's an economy of disappointment. But like you said, if you're not getting the same kind of experience, if it just seems like it's watered down rather than doing something a little bit different, like Final Fantasy Record Keeper wasn't exactly engaging, but it was different enough from the other games that it didn't feel like I was wanting to play the other ones, right? So, yeah, I could see that you did want to play one of the official games instead. Especially since I doubt that there's the same level of rating or storyline in the mobile game.
There is a story, but I mean, it's like slapped together and it's really stupid. I mean, it's just there.
But it doesn't sound too bad. I just didn't want to get into any kind of gacha game, so I never looked into it. It's just a conscious decision just to say no. I know, like I said, I was big into Record Keeper for a couple of months, and then when I stopped playing it, I just didn't care. It just kind of showed me how much I was invested in it, if I could just stop basically cold turkey and then not want to go back. But, I mean, they are a good diversion, so hopefully they improve the gameplay then, just to keep people engaged, because, or, you know, maybe that's part of the intention. They want people to want to bigger experience and they want them to buy the official games.
I mean, if there's anything I'm going to spend my money on for digital products, I can think of other games where I feel like that would be more fitting. So, Fire Emblem Heroes, I'm going to keep that in mind so I don't end up suckering myself into orbs, because I don't need those orbs. Okay, I can I can live without my dream team. Even though I re-rolled for 25 hours on the first day.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was freebie, though, right? So
yeah, it was just a lot of installing and reinstalling.
Just the cost of tedium rather than money, so yeah. still not quite as bad. So.
Yeah, if it was going to be, like, you know, the first day, and it was going to be my first, you know, starting the account, it was like, this is the perfect time to do a reroll to get at least the people I want, and then just accept it from there. But after 25 hours, I'm like, I'll just accept a good character and then move on, because people are playing the game already, and I'm still rerolling.
Yeah, it can be frustrating. I mean, I never put a whole lot of stock in them, but it can be frustrating when you get shit, or when you do get a five star and it's just a fucking golden shield or something. It's like, you know, you get excited for nothing. So I'm a broken record, but it is an economy of disappointment.
That's enough about me. What's been going on with you, Matt?
February hasn't been too bad. We had one hell of a snowstorm, and then other than that, it's been quite nice out. I kept watching Space Battleship Yamato. I have taken a little bit of a break from it, so I watched the second series, and the first TV movie that has the first Black Star Nebula or Dark Star Nebula, whatever they're calling them in that movie, it sort of uses different terminology between the two subs that I watched. And it gets really good. The second series seemed like it was going to be a rehash of the first one, but they took it in a different direction, and there was better character development, and there was better art, and it's just in general, it was a more coherent and cohesive series. The first series was good, but the second series, I think, was better. And I think I have one more movie to watch before I go back to the TV shows, because I think there was two TV movies, then the third series, and maybe a final movie. I have to go back and look at the continuity again, because it's all over the place. People told me not to watch the second movie that the second series is sort of based on, so
yeah.
I'll avoid it, but in general, I really like the second series.
There's also the live-action movie that I know you can buy on Blu-ray that's out there.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to. There's lots of other anime cartoons to watch, so I'm probably going to avoid the live-action movie unless someone tells me it's brilliant.
I was thinking of getting around to it, but no, I'm, you know, still slowly working on Harlock, so I need to get back to that, actually, now that you bring up Yamato.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to Harlock next, or if I'll take a break from Space for a bit. We'll see what I do, but I still have a lot of Yamato to get through, so I'll be cracking away at that for a little while, I guess. As for what I've been playing, I picked up a Game Boy game at Retro Shop, Roland's Curse 2. Never really heard of it before, but it was really quite good, especially for a top-down action RPG on the Game Boy. I think it kind of comes up short compared to Final Fantasy Adventure, but it's pretty solid, has great music, and it has a party system that you can switch between characters, and it was pretty good. Pretty good. I was surprised with it. I always like to find Game Boy games that I've never heard of before, especially ones that are kind of scarce and obscure. And yeah, Roland's Curse 2 was pretty damn good.
Who developed this game? And where's the first game? Is it also on the Game Boy?
It's out, but I have never played that either. It was developed by NMK Co. But yeah, it has the Sammy logo on the American box art, so it might have been localized by American Sammy. As for the first game, like I said, it's on the Game Boy. I've never really heard of these games before. And I'm to understand that the first game is different than the second one from people I've been talking to about this game. So I'm probably going to track down the first one at some point. It's more common and less expensive than Roland's Curse 2, so I'm not really too concerned about, you know, biting off more than I can chew. It's not like Trip World. I'm actually going to be able to find Roland's Curse, so it's all good. We'll give that a run at some point. I mentioned last time that I was playing through Dark Souls 3, and now I've completed it. And it was pretty good game. It's a pretty good game. I don't think I'm going to be able to top my first Souls experience. Dark Souls 1 is still on a bit of a pedestal for me. But Dark Souls 3 was really good. Definitely it was better than 2. And I don't know, I kind of went into it with a lot of... maybe it was a mistake to go into it so soon after Bloodborne, because Bloodborne was so good. And it does demonstrate the difference between Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3. There are a few ways to play Dark Souls 3 like Bloodborne, but really it's a bit more of a deliberate style game. And while I did use a shield a bit in Dark Souls 3, I didn't use it exclusively. Like, I think Bloodborne sort of broke me off that, so I didn't sword and board a lot. I tried two-handing quite a bit in this game, and it was good. I think it maybe relies too much on callbacks to Dark Souls and other games in the series. Sort of meant as a farewell to the series, so I can understand why they're there. Whereas Dark Souls 2 didn't have a whole lot of references to Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 3 references everything, and especially Demon's Souls and Dark Souls 1. And it's appreciated, the fan service, but it is a little much at times. Like, some of it's really good, some of it's like, I kind of wish that it would do more things that are kind of risky or extreme. Like, it definitely has a better variety of bosses than Dark Souls 2, but it doesn't have nearly as good a variety as Dark Souls 1. I would like to see something a bit more wild and such. It has really good bosses, especially the second half of the game. I found the first half very easy. The second half did step it up a bit. So overall, it was good. Do I think it's the end of Dark Souls? No, it's too popular of a series at this point. It's kind of crawled out of its niche. So I don't think it's going to be around for a while, but I doubt it's the last we've seen of it, even though it should be. And I can't really talk about why it should be without it being spoilers, so I'll avoid that.
I'll understand one day. But I'm glad to know Dark Souls 3 is get some pretty good reviews, because I remember it was a concern to me that Bloodborne came out, and then Dark Souls 3 was like just announced that would be released quite soon after that. And I was always concerned that, oh, do they have enough time to develop it, even though it's two different teams? Is one game going to suffer because they're busy working on the other one? But I'm glad both games came out pretty well.
Well, I mean, Bloodborne was in development, I think, at the same time Dark Souls 2 was. So there's overlap, but probably not as much as the public knows. Like, I'm not going to pretend to know what that was like, but yeah. It was a concern for me, too. I was like, holy shit, it's already being announced. It was even quite a close proximity to Dark Souls 2. But Dark Souls 3, yeah, it's definitely a solid game. Definitely a solid game. People say that some of the higher tier bosses in it are the hardest in the series. I don't think so. I think that if you consider Bloodborne part of the series, or at least part of the Souls-like stuff from Soft has made, then the boss of the Old Hunters DLC is easily the most difficult boss in the series, also probably the best. But enough gushing about Bloodborne. Dark Souls 3, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, maybe they'll make Kingsfield HD or Shadow Tower HD, so I can have an excuse to really get to those games too.
Or 3D Dot Game Heroes 2.
Oh man, I would be so all over that.
In the Zelda 2 style, but... What are the chances?
Oh, man, you're going to get my hopes up. This is what I want now.
Yeah, so I don't really want to talk too in-depth about Dark Souls 3 because, I'd have to get into spoilers about it, and it's a big game. I don't want to dwell on it for too long. It's not super similar, but a similar kind of, you know, fantasy action-adventure RPG kind of game. I've also been playing The Witcher 3. It's my first Witcher game. I got it because the complete edition was quite cheap. I think I got $25 for it, and the DLC that it comes with is, you know, supposed to be 40 to 50 hours of extra gameplay. So it's like, you know, it's a bit of a deal. So I've been playing it, and I've been playing it a lot more than I thought it would be because it's actually quite engaging. I'm not usually big into open world games. I think Dragon's Dogma was probably the biggest one I was into previous to this. Not that I'm not into open world. I don't like sandbox games. I like open world games, but it's Western RPGs. I kind of not the biggest into. Like, I kind of like the lore and the setting of Skyrim, but I don't really enjoy playing Skyrim all that much. I just don't really like the gameplay that much. But The Witcher 3 is quite good. I'm playing on Death March, the hardest difficulty, because someone recommended that I started on that, and they were right. I think it would be way too easy on a lower difficulty. It has, it's a great interpretation of like European and Scandinavian folklore. I'm not finished with the game, so I don't really want to talk too in depth about it right now, but I'm enjoying it quite a bit. It's a little bit repetitive, so I'm hoping I don't burn out by the end of it, especially since I'm doing a lot of the side content and a lot of the sort of exploration-based stuff rather than the main story all the time. So we'll see how I feel about it at the end of it. I'm about ready to call it the Glitcher 3 rather than the Witcher 3 because it is glitchy as fuck, and maybe I'm just not used to these kind of games, but it is glitchy. It's really fucking glitchy, and normally it's just something like collision issues or something that aren't that bad to deal with, but it ruined a whole fucking racing side quest. I mean, pertinent to the podcast, pertinent to the podcast.
Of course, of
And
course.
this is a race that you can only race once. You can't redo it. You have to load your game, and this game takes a long time to load, like the cold load something. So the first time I tried this race, it started to be underwater for some reason, and I fell off my horse and died, and so I lost the race. The
Okay.
second time, I got stuck on a bridge or something, and then I couldn't really move, and the people got too far ahead of me, and I lost. So I had to restart. That's fair ball. But then the third time, the two other horses at the starting line had no one on them, and they never moved from the starting line. So I finished the race with no competition, which normally I would restart, but I was like, you know what?
After those two glitches, I would have just, left it.
Yeah, I don't know if the second was a glitch, but the first one starting in a lake was definitely a fucking glitch. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to load this again. There's still other races I gotta do. I'll enjoy those. And I was looking forward to it. The racing is, it's not super, but it's interesting, and it's not a bad mini game. Like, that's one thing I can say about it. The mini games, the fist fighting and the horse racing and Gwent aren't bad. They're actually quite good. So that was the one glitch I was kind of pissed off about because it kind of ruined the whole side quest on me. But yeah. Gwent is good too. That's like sort of collectible card game that came out of The Witcher, and I think there's a standalone version of it coming out. I'm not going to get into that because like Hearthstone is sort of like a supreme. We're talking about gachas before. That's sort of like the supreme level of that kind of stuff. So because they be competitive in these online CCGs, you got to put money into them, and I'm not really going to I'm not really planning to do that. But Gwent, it's
Nothing will ever be triple triad to you.
what, I didn't even play Triple Triad on the phone, so what can I say? But yeah, Gwent is good. Gwent is fun, and The Witcher 3 is fun. I have some beefs about it, I have some praises about it, but I'll sing them next time. Now, this podcast this month is sort of comparison of Outrun and Rad Racer. But before we get into that, I kind of want to talk about racing games and driving games in general, and just kind of talk about the purpose of this podcast. So racing as a genre is sort of hard to just sum up a genre. It's sort of a nebulous concept, but if it's a racing game, of course you're moving from point A to point B through some matter of locomotion. Usually against competitors, unless they glitch off their horsebacks and you never happen to have
Yeah.
competitors. usually on the vehicle. It's a competitive game. You have to get to point A to point B as fast as you can. Now, it can be a bit less linear than that. You could be a driving game that's just about driving, or you could be a game where the driving is incidental, but it's still a big part of it, because the world is so big that it's the fastest way to get around. But in general, what we're going to be talking about today are sort of the racing games that are against the clock, going as fast as you can, or, you know, driving from point A to point B. That's generally what we're getting into today. To compare Outrun and Rad Racer, we'll talk about that more a couple of segments down the line where obviously we're going to compare them. They're very similar games, and sort of in the Famicom era, Square put out a couple of games that sort of aped Sega's games at the time. Adventures of 3D World Runner is basically Square's version of Space Harrier. And Rad Racer, although there are differences, is very similar to Outrun. And for a long time, they've been compared. You can't bring up Rad Racer without it getting compared to Outrun, so we're going to talk about that in this podcast. Before we get to that, we're just going to sort of do a little bit of introduction to why we play racing games, what's the appeal. We'll begin with you. Do you play racing games? And if you do or don't, what's the appeal or sort of the drawbacks?
I would say I do play racing games, but it's not exactly a genre that I directly seek out. I mean, most of my things are, I guess, action-adventure and stuff like that. So racing games, when I really feel like it, I'll probably pick up a game and play it for a bit and put it down for a while, that kind of thing. There was a time, like a few years ago, when I was really into racing games, so I had a ton of games from that time. But it's kind of ebbed out now, so not really into the racing game stuff now. But my appeal for them is, at least I usually play the more single-player experiences. I don't like playing against other people. So I like the competitiveness of racing against the clock. It's really just me versus my old times. And also, I like cars a lot, so it just kind of works that way. I can't have a horse racing game. It's got to be cars, Matt.
Got to be cars, yeah. So yeah, as for racing games for myself, do I play them? I do, but it's not typically a genre I seek out a whole lot. I like to find like older racing games, I find that, and give them a shot. Like, I picked up Cyberspin a few months ago, and that was a really good game. And yeah, I mean, I seek them out once in a while, but it's not normally the kind of the kind of gaming experience I seek out for my new gaming experiences. But I do like them. The next one I'll probably get is the Wipeout Collection. So that's probably where I'm going next with it. Yeah, I like them, and I played them. I've got nothing against them. There was a Forza game on the Xbox One I wanted to play recently. It was sort of an out-in-the-countryside kind of game that looked really pretty and looked really fun. But, of course, I've got a PS4, so I couldn't play that, but I did like the looks of that. Now, you talked a little bit about what you prefer. Are there any preferential games in general, or you said basically you like cars, but any kind of genres within that? Do you prefer arcade-style racing, or do you prefer simulation games? And are there any games that kind of stand out?
In retrospect, when I said I like cars, okay, there was a time when I really liked cars. So for me, I always was more appealed to the racing simulators and stuff like Gran Turismo, where you always have to look at those little specs and just every single part of the car to get mechanically correct. That would always appeal to me. I'd never picked up Gran Turismo, though, because I knew if I picked up any of those games, I'd spend 2,000 hours on it. So I tried to stay away from it. But I did play a fair bit of it, and I always really enjoyed it. I really like the realistic aspect of it. But for a racing sim that's kind of on the lighter side, but kind of has that same aspect, was the Need for Speed series, before it got really weird, and then it got picked up again. I don't know. I haven't touched that series in a while, but during, like, the PS2 era, the Need for Speed games that came out at that time, I was really into those as well, the tuning aspect, which is also a lot of getting the right cars and getting the right tires and getting the right spoilers to make all the aerodynamics work correctly. So that kind of stuff appeals to me. But I also like arcade racers. Like, I like F-Zero, which is exactly racing against other people, but When I got Maximum Velocity on my 3DS Ambassador title, I played the heck out of that. And then I had F-Zero on the Super Nintendo, and I did play GX once upon a time and was really bad at it, but I really liked it.
That's a pretty hard one, though.
GX. Yeah. It's a really pretty game, though. I really like GX in terms of...
Definitely.
And the cast of characters as well. That's what makes it interesting. So racing sims are the ones I lean towards, but I'm up for arcade racers as well. And while we bring it up, you know, Mario Kart is it's there. It's so popular that you go to a party and someone will have it, so you have to play it. It's the game that I'm really good at, but I don't like playing, if that makes any sense.
I kind of prefer Diddy Kong Racing, but I'm going to talk a little bit about these kart races and generally the introduction of items in just a bit. You mentioned Need for Speed, which sort of cannibalized one of my favorite driving games or series, Burnout.
Burnout's a good series too, I should mention.
When EA got them or something like that, like one of them had to be a night only and one of them had to be day only. It was some kind of fucking horse shit like that. Yeah, so Burnout kind of got reamed. But I love Burnout. You played Burnout as well, do you?
Yeah, I played a few Burnouts. I think last time I played was Paradise, which is on the PS3, I think.
I think so. I haven't really picked up any of the PS3 ones. I don't know if I have to get Origin to play them or something, but you know, but I enjoy what I played on the PS2. I think I played a lot of Burnout 2 and Burnout 3, so they were quite good. Preferential for me, I kind of prefer the arcade games. You're talking about the appeal of racing against the clock. I kind of like that. I kind of like futuristic racers a bit more than contemporary racers because of the higher speeds and the more twitch gameplay. That's why I like F-Zero so much, is that it's pretty high speed at times, especially as the series progressed. Now, there's an awful lot of rubber banding in F-Zero. There are in a lot of these games, and I don't like that. But at the very least, F-Zero, especially F-Zero X, is a very visceral game because while you can destroy your opponents, you have to do it by ramming into them or spinning into them. So it's a contact thing that doesn't really take away from the race. If you see someone getting ready to ram you, you can avoid it. It's more based on, you know, your skill or what have you. Outrun's actually one of my favorite driving games, but I can't talk about that right now. I guess when I started playing driving games on the NES, actually, yeah, through a pirate multi-cart, Road Fighter was one of my favorites on that, but it was really F-Zero that kind of made it something I like to play. Now, I was talking about how F-Zero handles attacking people, and I also mentioned Diddy Kong Racing before. Diddy Kong Racing has items, but they're set items, they're color balloons that give you a particular item, and there's a bit more strategy involved in that because you can collect subsequent balloons of the same color to upgrade your current item. So I don't mind that. I really don't like the random boxes of Mario Kart. When my younger brother got a Wii, we had Mario Kart. He had Mario Kart Wii, and we were playing that for a while, and I was enjoying it. But then, sort of mirroring what happened at the intro for this podcast, right at the end of the race, I got pummeled with like two blue shells and like a red shell. And I was like, you know what? These guys were so far behind me the rest of the race. And then I just fucking lost in an instant. And some people are like, oh, you just raged or whatever. And that's part of the fun. It's not really part of the fun for me at that point. It's sort of a genre I like to play because it's a Twitch genre and it's sort of a, I don't really like the whole being rewarded for being bad aspect to the Mario Kart. And I know a lot of people like it, and all the power to them. It's not a bad series. It's just not my thing. It's just not my thing because I like to get in the front and I like to stay in the front. But when you get in the front and you're punished for it and then everything rubber bands past you, I don't know. This sort of kills the momentum for me. I like to kind of lose because I've been outdriven, not because someone in 8th place got a lucky break. But that's just me on that subject. I know it's probably not everyone's opinion on it, but, you know, that's my opinion on that.
I feel like this is my feelings for Smash and why I don't like items. So I feel like maybe I'd be a lot cooler if I'd played Diddy Kong Racing instead.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of racing games try to do the item thing. Extreme G was a futuristic racing game that tried to do the item thing, but really you were going too fast for them to be very intuitive. But Mario Kart, I mean, it's not a bad game. I kind of have a chip on my shoulder about Mario Kart because it's the reason we don't have a new F-Zero, most likely. It's
like, you know what? Maybe that's also my same feeling. Where's the new F-Zeros? But then, I don't know if I trust them to make a good F-Zero again, so...
Well, I mean, if they said they don't really feel like they can, so if they don't feel like they can, then maybe they shouldn't. They don't make any new F-Zeros because the anime tanked and the games related to the anime didn't sell well. That's why we don't have new F-Zeros. Not because it's necessarily a bad series or that they're necessarily bad games. We're just talking about the appeal of racing and driving games. I think, like you said, it's the appeal of racing against the clock. It's sort of, if it's a racing game, it's one of the more competitive games you can have. A sports game, a racing game, a fighting game, they're very competitive genres, especially when there's a human element to your opponent. So it gets right to the competition aspect of it. For a game that's just about driving, then that can be quite relaxing. It can be, but it can also be as frenetic because I'll maybe talk a bit about OutRun being a driving game when we get to it, because Yu Suzuki considers OutRun a driving game rather than a racing game, but it can have a lot of the same tenets. And I think, like you said, racing against something, it's a competition against the clock, it's a competition against an AI or a human. I think that's what makes it intimately, instantly and intimately attracting to people is that there is a drive in a lot of people to compete, and it's one of those genres that is sort of born from competition. Of course, we're talking about competition today. We're going to talk about two games that sort of were in competition, not sort of an indirect competition. The first game that we're going to talk about is Rad Racer. Rad Racer!
We're going to talk about
Rad Racer first because it's the derivative of OutRun. If we talk about OutRun first, then it will sort of color the discussion of Rad Racer. So what even is Rad Racer? Now, Rad Racer was originally released for the Famicom in 1987 by Square as Highway Star. It's a racing game for Nintendo's platform, and it's meant to be an answer to OutRun, or at least it's seen as an answer to OutRun. As I mentioned before, Square did a couple of games like this that were sort of an answer to Sega's games. It spawned one sequel, the North American exclusive Rad Racer 2, and it has the dubious distinction of appearing in the hit teen film The Wizard to demonstrate the Power Glove. Incidentally, it was also one of the few games to be compatible with the Famicom 3D system, a storied history of peripheral promotion with this game. So, we'll get right into it. How does Rad Racer play, and does it play well?
Begins with you selecting from one of two cars, which I don't know change much, but you have two cars to choose from. You just start on stage one, you will drive on the road going forward, try not to hit anything, like trees or other cars, and once you clear a stage, it will do like a pause in the game and tell you that you're moving on to the next stage. And that goes on until, I believe, stage 8, which is the last one.
There are 8 stages, right. So, we're talking about the game progression of Rad Racer first, and it's, we'll talk about the progression itself in just a moment. The gameplay itself, how did you feel that holds up today? Or how does it hold up to its contemporaries, even?
Up until you need to make a tight turn, it plays as I expected a NES game to play, but then it just gets really, really sticky when you need to make a turn right away, and then it just, you don't move, or you just go way off the course instead.
If you don't start your turn smoothly and soon enough, it sort of starts to grind and it'll throw you off the track, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it plays all right, though. I think it plays all right. The signs do telegraph the curbs fairly well, and the game gives you sort of a layout of the course before you start it. And, yeah, I think it plays all right. You can accelerate up to, I think it's 100 kilometers before you can use the turbo to go up to 255. I don't think there's actually any difference between the F1 and the Ferrari.
I think it's just for aesthetics. It's just a different look on the road. Aesthetics.
I don't think I would drive an F1 machine on the road, so I chose the Ferrari, but, you know, that's just me. That's just me. Yeah, but I think it plays well. It doesn't play badly. It doesn't play badly.
No, it doesn't play badly. I mean, it takes some time to get the physics system, if you want to call it that, just to know when to curve at the right time and when to just slow down a bit. But, I mean, if you put enough time to it, you can probably beat the game. I'm terrible at Rad Racer, so I've only made it to, this fourth stage before I just flip over completely and run out of time.
Right, so flipping over, is that just from hitting things on the side of the road or what?
I think it's only hitting things from the side of the road, and then you do that really long pull to get you back on the course, and that's 5 seconds of time that you could really use to get to the next checkpoint.
Now, curves can flip you as well, but I think it has to do with the angle or speed that you hit them at, because usually you just get bumped backwards a bit.
Yeah, yeah. All my flips have mostly been me crashing into a tree or something.
Right, so yeah, the side of the roads is littered with signs and trees. So if you kind of veer off course, you got to get back on fairly quickly or you're going to hit something. I usually start braking if I go off road. And the problem there is that if you brake too much and you throttle your speed too much, then you're going to run out of time. Because every course, of course, is on a time limit. And as you said, there's checkpoints that add time, so you kind of have to hit them. If you run out of time, you will keep rolling until you run out of speed. So even if you run out of time, but the checkpoint's in view, you can still pass it and get another chance.
Yeah, that has saved me a couple of times, actually.
True. And I find generally the checkpoints give you enough time to reach the next one. If you're going through at zero, you probably don't have any leeway for slowing down or hitting anything. But it does give you time there. I find the courses that have sort of this wiggle worm intestine style track that is just a lot of consecutive turns. Those are probably the hardest tracks for me because going around that many turns without crashing, the compromise you make is that you slow down a lot. And I find that that's the hardest on my time because I'm going 130 rather than 255. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I try not to break too much in Rad Racer because, of course, the flipping over problem, but you break too much and you're not going to make it in time.
Right. The problem with going as fast as you can on those turns as well is that I find that the curves are really aggressive in this game.
Those mint pricks. They're mint pricks in this game.
Yeah, they're mint pricks. They seem to really like changing lanes when you're just about passing.
Yeah.
And I think that's sort of why a distinction between Outrun and Rad Racer, which I'll talk about when we get to the end of it, I'll elaborate more on it. I find that the other vehicles in Rad Racer behave more like a racing game, while the vehicles in Outrun sort of behave more like pedestrians because they generally don't try to stop you and you go a lot faster than they do. So I think the racers in Rad Racer are assholes. And like we mentioned, running into cars usually doesn't kill you. Well, you don't get killed. You get you flipped. It's not real life, so that's sort of a don't try this at home kind of thing. Running into cars doesn't generally flip you. They do sort of knock you all over the place. And if you are between two cars,
oh yeah,
then you can get it's easy to get hit back and forth a couple times and then be off road. So this part of the strategy of Rad Racer then is to know when to slow down, especially when there's three cars taking up every lane. Know when to slow down and when to go through, because I found in my own experience that when there are three cars and one kind of lags and they get some space between each other, you do have a little bit of leeway to get between them before they change lanes themselves again. So you can squeeze through as long as it's not on a turn. So, yeah, I mean, it's a fairly aggressive racing game in that respect, and I like that. I like that the game is challenging, and I mean, I mentioned before, it runs one of my favorite games, but Rad Racer, I don't think by any means is a bad game. Before we talk about our impressions of it, of course, we talked a little bit about the game progression. So it has 8 courses, and each course is in a vacuum. There's only 1 lap per course, and I think there's usually 3 checkpoints per course.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Is there any, like, striking differences between these courses?
So I think the stages, I mean, the first stage is off, like, a grassy area with palm trees, and then the second course is a highway, nighttime scene. It's kind of like Mario Land, where you got those different stages that are all themed something that are really obvious. Like, I guess you're out there in the United States West Coast, and you got, you know, Los Angeles and the Grand Canyon. And apparently Athens is next. I don't know how that happened, but all right. But I guess they all have their distinct looks to them. So that keeps it interesting.
They're interesting locales, and they all have a sort of distinct look. There's two beaches towards the end of the game. And those are particularly interesting because they actually have sort of a day-to-night transition in them. Like, they will start dark and get lighter as it goes on.
Right, yeah.
One of them's in a typhoon, and one of them starts in the night and goes into morning, I believe the final one does. The, I don't think there's a... The stages, like, the backgrounds are interesting. There's not a whole lot of decoration in this game, probably because of the limitations of the NES, but it looks all right. It looks all right.
I think the stages look distinct enough for an NES game. So
yeah, they do. They do. And like you said, the sort of the night city stages you like, there are a completely different tone than the other sort of, not wilderness, but, you know, out there kind of places, right? So yeah, I kind of like it. Course design sort of straightaways and turns, basically. You know, and most of your challenge for the game is contending with the other racers, because without them, you just have to contend with the turns, and even the big wiggle worms, they're not that bad if there's nothing else to touch you. So
yeah, if it wasn't for the pricks on the road, the courses aren't too bad to memorize, but then you just gotta dodge them.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, it's 8 courses, and if you lose, I think you get to continue. And it's sort of each stage is self-contained, and that's important in the comparison later, and we'll talk about it. Runs a bit different, but each level of Rad Racer is self-contained, and there's no sort of choosing your own direction in it. We talked a little bit when we're talking about the backgrounds of Rad Racer, but to elaborate more, we'll talk about its presentation in general. How do you feel Rad Racer's presentation is, you know, number one, for a racing game, and number two, for an NES game, and that includes the music and visuals?
I feel like there's only one musical track, so fortunately it's a short game, so you don't get tired of it, or at least I kind of drown it out because I'm too busy focusing on not hitting things. But overall, I think it's fine for what it is, so I don't really have too many complaints about it. I just wish, I guess, on the road there'd be more variety, except palette swaps, but that could also just be a limitation problem.
I think at least your car that you're driving, the animation on that's pretty good. Like the turning and all that, it's not jarring, and it feels sort of natural. The plane that you're racing on in the background are sort of kept different. It's sort of how Hang On does it. It's sort of 2 different planes, and it looks good. It looks alright. The game's sort of basic and sparse in its decoration. But I think for the NES, that's okay. It looks better than, say, Mach Rider does, and I think it plays better and is generally, you know, a lot of people think it's one of the better racing games on the platform. I think I agree with that. And in terms of presentation, I think it is as well. In general, I think the presentation is all right, but it could be a bit better. The compositions, the music, aren't bad. I think you can actually change the tracks while you're playing, so I think I just switch in between them, and I could understand why they were starting and why they were stopping, but I think you could switch them as you go. I think the compositions are all right. but their execution on the NES hardware isn't that great. And it's not really the fault of the NES necessarily, because the NES can have some great music, but I don't think it comes out as good as it should. My bias might be a bit color there, because the next game we're talking about has such iconic music, but I don't think Red Racer's music's necessarily bad, but it's not really up to the standard I've expected on the platform, I think.
It's passable, it's not annoying, but definitely unmemorable, and it's just kind of there so you don't drive in silence.
Exactly. And it's not bad. Now, like I said, we gotta move on to the next one soon, but we're not gonna consider the other one right now. Just taking Rad Racer in a vacuum without comparing it to any other racing game, or at least without comparing it to OutRun, how do you feel about this game?
I think it's okay. As we said, it has its limitations, and I can't really contribute to the NES itself. Because we know the NES can do a bit more than that, but I think it's passable. I mean, it's a decent game. That's all I feel about it. Do I like it? Yeah, I like it. I don't dislike it, for one thing.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, I played Rad Racer on the NES, but I didn't play OutRun until later, and I'll talk about that in a bit. But I played Rad Racer, and I didn't mind it, but I think there's a reason I didn't really get into racing until the Super Nintendo. Seriously into, like, F-Zero and things like that. Yeah, Red Racers, it's a good game. Do I think it's one of the best on racing games on the NES? I mean, it could be, but NES is not necessarily my platform of choice for racing.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It's definitely better than Mach Rider, as you brought up.
Yeah, I think it is definitely better than Mach Rider, but I mean, I love Excitebike, so...
Excitebike's got its own charm, right? So...
Yeah, so... I like it. In a vacuum, I think it's a good game. I've never said it's a bad one, but if I'm going to talk about a vacuum, it's a good game. If I'm going to talk about the NES, middle of the heap. If I'm going to talk about it in comparison to other racing games, there's other stuff I prefer.
Compared to other NES racing games, I'd say it's good. For me, thinking about NES games in general, it's got the passable mark for me, which doesn't mean it's bad.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah, it's a good game. It's a good game. I think that's where I'm going to stand with Rad Racer. So, the other game that we're going to talk about is OutRun! So, what even is OutRun? OutRun is an arcade driving game designed by Yu Suzuki and released by Sega in 1986. It was ported to many platforms, some way more successful than others. It's got to be said, some of them are bad, some of them aren't. If you're going to the Sinclair Spectrum, it's not going to be amazing. And spawned a number of sequels, updates, and derivatives, sometimes seeming more to just use the OutRun name than to be directly in the same vein as OutRun. These are considered unofficial sequels by Yu Suzuki, and he has said that OutRun is a driving game rather than a racing game, and we'll explore that in a bit as well when we talk about the sort of the progression in the gameplay. We'll talk about the gameplay then. How does OutRun play then, and does it play well?
The only original I've played of OutRun is at the arcade. So you've got your steering wheel in front of you. You got a stick to the side, which I don't know works. Maybe I've just always gotten stuck with arcade cabinets where the thing is broken. But, yeah, you got your pedals on the bottom. Pretty much you can accelerate. There is a brake, but in OutRun I never brake anyway. And the stick, I don't even know if it actually fixes your gears or anything. It just... Anyway, the point is, you just... hit your accelerator, go through the courses as usual. There's some pricks on the road, but they moved out of the way. There's kind of like 5 segments to each course, so as soon as you finish up one stage, you'll move on to stage 2 to 5, and then there's other courses you can go through to hit the ending.
It plays like Rad Racer, or is it the other way around? As you said, there are 2 gears. There's a low and a high. You accelerate in low gear up to a point where you can switch to high gear, And you have to, or else you're going to run out of time in this game. It is a checkpoint-based racer. However, as we'll talk about in the game progression, checkpoints come at the, like, at the end of each region. You mentioned that there are cars as well, and you can bump them. There's more than just getting flipped off the road in Outrun. You can sort of, there's like degrees of being flipped. Like you can be flipped a bit, but come right back on. Or you can like wipe out and take a little while longer to get back on. There are signs, again, telegraphing which direction to turn on the road. Outrun has a lot of decoration on the side. It's typically all the same. Either you'll have like 100-kilometer stretch of windmills all close together or something.
100 kilometers of stone structures on stage two, and I'm just like, what is this?
So it has a lot of decoration, but it's you know, it's a bit repetitive, but they're there to make you flip the car. It's not difficult to stay on the road in Outrun, and I find that the pedestrians are a bit different than Rad Racer. How are the pedestrians in Outrun?
Pedestrians seem to move out of the way, at least, so that's pretty cool. And the other cars on the road don't seem to intentionally try to drive in front of you when you're turning. So they're a bit nicer in this one.
Yeah, it's more like they're pedestrians rather than other racers. We'll talk about the progression of Outrun in a bit, but you are the only one actually racing in Outrun, and they sort of say, like Yu Suzuki says, it's a driving game rather than a racing game. So you're really the only one that's speeding in Outrun, so you're really the only threat on the road rather than the other drivers. Does it play well? I think Outrun plays beautifully. That's why it's been aped so much and why it's been ported to so many platforms. I've sadly never actually played it on an actual arcade cabinet. I have, you know, some of the arcade ports, and I have on some of the home platform ports, as well as some of the sequels, Battle Outrun and the Outrunners, and the sort of the futuristic one. I can't remember the name, Outrun 2199 or something. And like a lot of these use similar like physics and racing caveats to Outrun, but Outrun itself kind of stands stands more as a pure driving game. And I think it does it very well. It has a progression system that, again, you were mentioned it briefly, it's different than Rad Racer's courses. How does the game progress in Outrun?
You start off on a nice beachy scene, which is totally not like Rad Race or anything, but you just drive forward it. There are no checkpoints up until you hit the goal, essentially, for stage one. And assuming you make it in time, it will directly take you to stage two with a new environment and everything. And the next checkpoint will follow with stage three. This continues up to stage five.
Yep.
So there's only the five checkpoints, really, and then you hit the goal at the end.
Yeah, and whereas the eight courses in Rad Racer, I gotta stop comparing them right now. Outrun, because of the progression, like if you're good at Outrun, it's maybe a 6-minute game. But I think that sort of plays to why it's so engaging, is because you can either lose or win within those 6 or 7 minutes, and you want to hit like your best time, or you want to see where the game's going to take you. As you said, you only get a checkpoint and more time when you hit the next region, and then the game transitions into a new background with new decoration and sort of a different course layout. But every time you get to the end of a course, you have a split in the road, a fork in the road, and you can go left or right, and that'll take you down to either the course to the left or the course to the right. There's a map displayed at the bottom of the screen that shows you basically where you're at. And there's different endings depending on which course you finish on. Some courses seem harder. There's a desert one towards the end that seems like one of the tougher courses to me. But I think that's part of the harem ending, so that's probably for a reason.
There's five different branching points, and they are varying difficulties. If you just keep going left, essentially, you hit course ending A, I think of what it's called, and that's probably the easiest way to win. And then you go up to, like, F, which is going through that desert mountain area, which is far more frustrating than let's say, stage four going through Corsae.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, sort of the appeal is, like, you have, when you enter your score on Outrun, not only does it show your time, but it also shows the pass that you took. So you kind of want to find the best pass for the best time, or beat the hardest pass with the best time you can. And there is a bit of leeway. You can get flipped and all that, but if you get flipped too much in the early game, even though you're going to pass those checkpoints, then you won't have enough steam to get through the rest of the game. Like, you kind of want to save and bank your mistakes for more towards the end of the game, because you get a certain amount of time every checkpoint. And I think there is a sort of player progression there as well, because the better you get, the farther you get, and the more you're kind of rewarded for it. And the game's, again, 5, 6, 7 minutes to do a round of it. It's not so long that you'll get frustrated doing it, or maybe you'll get frustrated if you lose. I'm not going to say you are or not, but I think it's a bite-sized enough game that it encourages you to try better and try again. Now, Outrun as well, I mentioned that it has very iconic songs, very iconic soundtrack. How do you feel about the presentation in Outrun?
Okay, Outrun's presentation is really cool. I do. The songs are really catchy, and they stick with you. You'll probably drown them out because you're too busy trying to figure out how to get through the course. But they're not obnoxious. And in terms of environments, because of its, I've only played the arcade one, so it definitely has far more power than an NES game, or probably what's on the Master System, which I've never actually played on. I just think the environments are, even though repetitive, they are a lot richer, and I guess they are distracting, but it's not too much.
So the presentation of Outrun, I think I agree that there's a sort of unfair comparison if you talk about arcade versus NES. Just to mention the arcade for a minute, it is beautiful. It is, amazing music. But yeah, I guess the Master System would be the closest available comparison to the NES. And I think the Master System version of Outrun is technically a better presentation than Rad Racer. We're going to compare them later, but even the Master System version of Outrun is quite good. It has sort of the multiple levels and troughs and peaks that Outrun does, and it does some weird stuff when you have to go under arches and things like that, but it manages, and it's clean, and I sort of can't go back to the music in it now. It's still good. The compositions are good, but the Master System version of Outrun was the first one I played, so it was all right when I started it. But now that I've had, exposure to what the Magical Sound Shower really is, it's hard to go back to anything other than the original on that. But Master System version is still quite solid, and it holds up visually. If you're talking about other versions of Outrun, depending on the computer or console you're talking about, presentation varies. But if you're talking about the arcade or Sega platform, it's usually spot on. Now, we talked, again, I'm gushing a bit about Outrun, but if we're going to talk about Outrun in a vacuum as on its own, against its, maybe not necessarily against Rad Racer, but against its other contemporaries, against other driving or racing games, how do you feel about Outrun?
First of all, I really do like Outrun, even though I'm also pretty bad at this. I don't think I've even done Course A, because the thing about, I don't brake ever in Outrun. I just lower the acceleration when I need to take a curve, but I think I stop too much, and then that ruins my time. So I think I've only gotten to, stage four and then stop. But otherwise, I really like Outrun just for being overall smooth experience. Again, I've only played the arcade version, so I have that to my advantage. But it definitely feels like a smooth experience to me. It definitely isn't exactly complicated because, again, there's only the pedals, the stick, and the wheel. It's just straightforward, and the music just really adds to it. And compared to other racing games on the arcade, at least, or its contemporaries, I mean, Sega kind of took over that genre, so I don't know if I'd rate it higher than Hang-On or anything, but it's a good game. I like Outrun.
Oh, I definitely like it more than Hang On. In a vacuum, Outrun. When I first played Outrun is when I basically when I first started collecting, and I bought a Master System and a number of games for pretty cheap. And this was in like high school or something, and I ended up playing Outrun every morning since I got it, and it became sort of ritualistic for me. So maybe I'm a bit biased about Outrun, but it's a very pure experience, and maybe that's what I mean. It's a driving game rather than a racing game, because you just drive, and the only person that you're racing is yourself and the clock. And it's just a very, it's sort of like a distillation of what makes that kind of game great. You know, you can learn the courses, but it's all about, you know, your ability to play it. And, you know, and your skill improves and improves, and your the way that you perceive the courses improves and improves. And like, it just, you just sort of get lost in Outrun. Like Passing Breeze is a very relaxing song, or, you know, Magical Sound Shower, Splash Wave sort of get you juiced, but you couldn't get into it. Like, you get into the zone with Outrun, and I think that there's not a whole lot of games that do that to me, but Outrun does. I can sort of get lost in it, and you know, it's a good way to escape for 5 minutes at a time. And I'm no Outrun master by any means. I usually go for the harem ending. I don't know. It just because it's the most interesting one, yeah, I mean, I really like it. I like pretty much everything about Outrun, and I'm not afraid to say I'm a fucking Outrun fanboy, because it's definitely one of my favorite games. Maybe the only racing or driving game I like more is F-Zero X, but yeah, Outrun, I love it. It's terrific, and yeah, I guess you can see where the next segment's going, in my opinion, but I think that it's one of the most pure driving game experiences that you can have.
I like Outrun, but Matt, you really got over me on that one.
So we've kind of cheated throughout the whole podcast, because I didn't want to really compare the games until now, but it's sort of difficult not to because they're so similar. But the entire purpose of this podcast was to compare Outrun and Rad Racer to very similar games, but they're different in a lot of ways too, especially how the game progresses. Is it fair to actually compare these games though? Because again, Outrun had an arcade release, so it had a lot more technical, like, horsepower behind it. It does have a leg up on Rad Racer in that sense. So is it fair to compare to that? And should the fact that the game progression is quite different in both of them, should that factor into it? Are they different enough that maybe the similarities that we're imposing on it, are the things that we're imposing, are they actually quite different? How do you feel about actually comparing these games? Is it fair?
I think it's fair to compare them in terms of how the game progresses. I think even though they are different, they're still kind of in the same tune in a way. But the reason why I feel in the end that it's unfair to compare both Rad Racer and Outrun is because Outrun did have the arcade edition. Had it not had an arcade edition and we just did Master System versus the NES version, that might be a more fair comparison. But just knowing that Sega has an arcade cabinet out there where you do get the wheel and you do get the pedals, fake realism, if you want to call it that, it just kind of alludes you to a better experience.
I mean, I can see that. I mean, I've played a lot of versions of Outrun, so I do think it's completely fair to compare them myself. Now, I think it's completely fair to compare them because it's quite clear that Rad Racer did two things. It, number one, was meant to be an answer to Outrun from Square on a Nintendo platform, and B, it really does ape Outrun. It's trying to be Outrun, except with courses rather than coast to coast. by no means is Rad Racer dismissible because of that, but I think it's definitely fair to compare them. Before I played them, again, for this podcast, it's been a long time since I played Rad Racer. It's probably only been a year since I played Outrun before this podcast. I thought, you know, maybe I've been harsh on Rad Racer in terms of how much it's taken from Outrun, but playing it last week, it is clearly taking a lot from Outrun. It takes a lot of the physics from Outrun. It takes, like, how the course is progressed in a different way, but even the way that turns are telegraphed and the way that things turn, starting on the beach, having the three tracks or what have you, and the fact that you're in that red Ferrari and that's the main car for Rad Racer, it looks like Outrun. It tries to play like Outrun. It quacks, so is the duck. Rad Racer does have its own identity, but it is clearly taking from Outrun, so I think myself, it's completely fair to compare them.
I think Rad Racer being a clear takeaway from Outrun does justify comparing them in that sense, but again, just knowing that the arcade version exists out there and Nintendo never did that, it's like Outrun has the unfair advantage in that aspect, so it's a little difficult.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to condemn Square for that because a lot of developers at the time did that because they would see something that was successful in the arcade and they would adapt their own kind of version or game like that for home platforms. A lot of times, developers would start working on a game. Like, say someone wanted to make a sequel to Outrun, they would start making it, and then once they're partway into it, they would ask Sega, hey, we've got this, can we release this Outrun 2 or whatever? And they would say no, so they'd have to release this something else. Square was sort of on its last legs before Final Fantasy on the NES came out, so I can see wanting to make a game like Rad Racer. I didn't read a whole lot into it, but sort of they wanted to show off some of their programmers' ability at programming 3D games. So Rad Racer, in a sense, is a tech demo, if these stuff I've read is to be believed in total. Like I said, I'm not going to condemn Rad Racer for being a clone of Outrun, but I think it is a clone, and so I think the comparison's fair.
Yeah, I can't condemn either. I mean, it happens all the time, even today, so...
We're going to compare these games a little bit, though. Which game do you think actually plays better? What has the better gameplay and the better kind of progression?
For me, I'm going to say Outrun. Besides the presentation thing, I just think that for me, with Rad Racer, it's really the pricks on the road that ruin the experience. Like, for making it a really good game, it's just kind of an okay game. For me, I just want it to be more about my skill instead of me worrying that I'm going to crash into things. With an Outrun, it's me being concerned if I can make the turns correctly and making the turns at the right speed. It's more of a race against the clock in Outrun to me, which I prefer. But Rad Racer, it's more of how can I not hit anything in time.
Right. Again, I don't mind the aggressive drivers, but sometimes it does get quite congested. I think that Outrun is definitely a better example of, like, again, pure driving, but I don't mind the gameplay in Rad Racer. I think what does it for me in Outrun is the way that levels transition and it's all one shot. It's sort of, I don't want to say the game's non-linear, because technically, no matter what path you go, it's still linearity. It's sort of semi-non-linear, I guess, you know, if we're going to start making up terms, but I sort of like that more. I think it's a more condensed, pure product, and I kind of really like, well, I kind of really like Outrun, I guess, but I just think just the way that the levels progress sells it for me on Outrun, because a lot of the gameplay is the same, but the level progression, I think, in Outrun's a little more interesting, a little more different for the time. Like, I've played a lot of games that have courses, and there's a lot of games since that have the same kind of progression as Outrun, but I think it's just a little more special than just having the 8 courses. On a gameplay basis, they do kind of play the same, but I think Outrun is just a bit more natural.
It's not as stiff, but again, arcade version, so
yeah.
I would assume that the NES version is just a bit more stiff than the Master System, but that's just me taking a really wild guess with no knowledge.
Which is a bit funny because Master System games usually have a little bit higher fidelity graphics than the NES games, but I've found that a lot of Master System games are very slow. But OutRun doesn't feel slow to me, and I don't know, I think the Master System version of OutRun's great. I think it's fantastic, and I don't think it suffers in the gameplay department at all. Some of the other ports are supposed to be kind of bad, and if you look at reviews from back then, like, they're all over the place, but it depends on what the platform was. Everyone wanted a home version of OutRun, so it made paper, I guess.
Yeah.
We talked a bit about the comparison and presentation and how it's not really fair to compare an arcade game to an NES game. I said it's maybe a bit more fair to compare the Master System to the NES. But instead of talking directly about horsepower and just about aesthetic and art direction, which game do you feel sort of wins out in that? And that would take into consideration composition of music, maybe not necessarily the fidelity, and environments. Like, do you think that maybe Rad Racer's more distinct environments but sort of less decoration gives it a bit of an edge, or OutRun's transitions into environments but repetitive decoration sort of? How do you feel in terms of presentation comparison?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because the decorations sometimes are a bit much, and I guess by the nature of how OutRun is to me, I'm not really focused on the environments. I also kind of phase those out and care more about the road. But in Rad Racer, I feel like I have somehow more leeway to actually look at the environments, probably because I'm trying to look for things to avoid. So I guess I don't mind Rad Racer's presentation just being one consistent course, and then it switches up a little bit later after you finish the course. Like, the transitions in that one are smooth and everything, but it's something I don't care too much about, but I appreciate that there's more variety in it. It's a really back and forth thing.
Yeah, I kind of really like the transitions in OutRun, but that's just me. The NES is not incapable of those transitions, because they're even in Rad Racer. In the later levels, it goes from night to day, so Rad Racer could have done more. I haven't actually played much of Rad Racer 2. That one's a bit foreign to me, so I can't really comment on the presentation of that. Yeah, I think with a bit more spit and polish, Rad Racer could have been quite a pretty game. It's not ugly by any stretch of the imagination, but I do think that, in general, the art direction in OutRun is a bit more than the art direction in Rad Racer.
I think OutRun maybe could have used a little more balance, like more variety in plain environments and less repetitive decorations, because I don't want to see 1,000 arches in Stage 2.
Yeah. In terms of music, I think I've already said OutRun's soundtrack is legendary, so
yeah, OutRun's got that covered, so
I'll have to give into my bias completely on that. Umatsu did the music for Rad Racer.
Which is funny, but yeah.
Yeah, so I mean it should be better than it is, but it could be limitations of the platform or just what they had at their disposal at the time. Final Fantasy on the NES has some of my favorite music on the NES, so clearly, the NES is capable of a lot more. Again, I guess it's a 1987 game. I gotta give it some slack for that.
And there's also that rumor that it was a tech demo, so in a way I could forgive it for that aspect.
Yeah, but I mean, I gotta make it clear. I don't dislike Rad Racer, and I don't think it's a game... I don't think it being in the shadow of OutRun necessarily means you should exclude it, but it's not a bad game. I just think that OutRun excels, and like you said, Rad Racer passes the grade. But I guess we should get the final thoughts on this. Are either of these games worth playing?
I definitely say yeah. Well, check out Rad Racer. It's, like I said earlier, it's probably the best racing game in the NES, so it's got that going for it. I mean, there's pricks on the road, but you know, it's still a fun game overall. I mean, there's a reason why I came back to it, like, every now and then, like, just to pick it up again and see if I can get some progress in it. So it's not, like, terrible or too tight that I just don't want to ever touch Rad Racer again. And, I mean, we've discussed OutRun is great. So, yeah, heck yeah, go play OutRun. Don't waste too many cures on it, because you don't know how to get past Stage 4.
Yeah. I think I just said it before I even introduced the final thoughts, is that OutRun excels and Rad Racer Passes the great. They're both good games, but OutRun's an excellent game. And I think that's my final thoughts on it. I could talk for 2 podcast lengths about OutRun, but I'm not going to. Basically. Well, folks, that's been the podcast for February 2017. If you want to reach me anywhere, it's twitter.com/Metazoic, MATTOZOIC. It's like the Mesozoic era, except the dinosaurs are better. Website's the same, Metazoic.com. Chris, where can we reach you?
You can reach me at twitter.com/Karasu, CAWRASU.
And where can we reach our disgraced racer Arrow?
You can find Agro at twitter.com/agrocast, AGROCAST.
Right, and this month was about racing games. Next month is about
more horses. No, I'm kidding. I don't think there are any horses in Link to the Past, but hey, yes, Link to the Past. Because it's our thing to cover all the Zelda games eventually, and we didn't do a second game this podcast year, so let's get it one in before our AgroCast anniversary. We're gonna play Link to the Past. No major glitches, speedrun that stuff.
No randomizer.
No randomizer. Although that does sound really interesting, but I think I'm due for a new playthrough.
But next month, yeah, we're going to explore Hyrule. We're going to watch out for ice rod crabs. We're going to
yeah.
We're going to abuse the hookshot, and we're going to play A Link to the Past.
All right. I'm ready for some hookshot cheese. Cheers.
Cheers.